Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors. Family Talk is a listener-supported program. I encourage you to give if you can. You can find us at drjamesdobson.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you to be a part of our family.
Today on Family Talk.
Divorce is a painful reality in many Christian homes, but the damage it causes might actually be more painful for the children of divorce. If this is your story, either as a parent who has experienced that pain or as an adult who remembers the sting of your parents' divorce during your childhood, you've tuned to the right place. Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and during the next half hour, we will once again turn our focus on finding help and hope for the children of divorce. Dr. Dobson's guest is Dr. Arch Hart, and on today's program, you'll hear his insights, along with a question and answer session featuring a number of college students who also joined us in studio for this discussion. Okay, let's get into part two now of our program on children of divorce, today on Family Talk.
Arch, to set up our topic again today, I want to go back to the mid-80s when Shirley and I were on a vacation. In fact, we'd been traveling for 3 weeks, had our kids with us, and wound up in Washington, D.C. And we were just killing time and enjoying the last 2 days there. We were at the end of the clean clothes and all that sort of thing that happens on a trip like that. And I heard that there was a conference at the White House on the subject of divorce. And I thought that would be interesting. Shirley wanted to go shopping. And so I said, I'm going to see if I can get into this conference. And I got in. There were about 250 people over in the old executive office building right next door within the compound of the White House. So I got in there, and I was sitting there at the back. And Leilani Watt, who was the wife of the then Secretary of Interior, Jim Watt, was sitting in front of me. And we've been friends for a while. And she leaned back to me and said, I don't think they've been fair to you. And I said, really? I said, who hadn't been fair to me? And she said, the planners of this conference. Mm-hmm. I said, why not? And she said, I don't think they gave you enough time. Huh. I said, time to what? And she said, time to speak. You're speaking. You're the main speaker. And they had forgotten to tell me I was the main speaker at this conference.
And you were there accidentally.
I was there just because I happened to be there, and they forgot to tell me. And I, man, my mind was going buzz. You know, I was trying to think of what. And at that moment, the White House staffer came, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, would you come to the platform? I'm walking to the platform. I got 250 people there, and I've got to speak, and they introduced me. Who knows what I said that day? I have no
idea. You remember
idea.
What I said in 82?
I don't remember what I said. All I remember is I had a blue suit on with brown socks. That's what I remember, because everything was dirty. And then the other speaker that morning came to speak, and he had a profound impact on me. It was Dr. Armine Nicolai from Harvard University, wonderful psychiatrist, who talked about divorce that day. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget the things that he said. In fact, I came home and I wrote it down. And in my December 1984 letter, I described what he said that day. Oh. Now, this is perhaps based on what is now old information, but it's still valid. Let me read two paragraphs from that letter. Dr. Nicolai presented the latest studies conducted on the subject of parenting, especially as it contributes to mental health in children. The findings were startling. It is now known that emotional development in children is directly related to the presence of a warm, nurturing, sustained, and continuous interaction with both parents. Anything that interferes with that vital relationship with either parent can have lasting consequences for the child. Consider the effects of divorce, for example. One landmark study revealed that 90% of children from divorced homes suffered from an acute sense of shock when the separation occurred, including profound grieving and irrational fears. 50% reported feeling rejected and abandoned, and indeed, half the fathers never came to see their children 3 years after the divorce. One-third of the boys and girls feared abandonment by the remaining parent, and 66% experienced yearning for the absent parent apparent with an intensity that researchers described as overwhelming. Most significantly, 37% of the children were even more unhappy and dissatisfied 5 years after the divorce than they had been at 18 months. In other words, time did not heal their wounds. In summary, Dr. Nicolai said, divorce brings such intense loneliness to children that its pain is difficult to describe or even to contemplate.
Yes.
You agree
absolutely
completely with what he says.
That I could have written those words.
In fact, you did in your book, well, Helping Children Survive Divorce.
That's it. And unless you've been through it, you do not know, you cannot even grasp the depth of the hurt, the fear, the insecurities, the anxiety, and the deeper damage to your self-esteem particularly is... It's remarkable.
You and I were talking in my office before we came down here. You made a very interesting statement that you feel, and I believe I agree with you, that divorce after a relationship has been established is actually more damaging to a child than the death of a parent.
Yes, I would say that. And I have been through the experience now in our own family, so I know it firsthand.
Your grandchild lost his father.
Two of my grandsons lost their father.
He was killed
in an automobile accident. He was a school teacher in a very famous Los Angeles school. And one day, midday, he was going to school to teach. He had the afternoon activities to take care of. And at midday, just 2 miles from his home on the freeway, a truck dropped a crate in the road. He swerved to miss it, left the road, hit a tree. And we didn't know it had happened until nearly 10 o'clock that night when we went down to USC Trauma Center. You know you know the place I'm talking about.
I sure do.
And walked through the mangled people in that looking for Richard. Because they didn't find his identity. It was in the trunk of his car. So they had him as a John Doe. And he only had a few hours to live.
What were the ages of his children?
They were 10 and 12. Which, you see, my oldest grandson, that's the age my parents got divorced. Yeah. I have a very
comparison.
End of one personal study here between how the divorce of my parents impacted me versus how the death of his daddy impacted him.
Hmm.
And I can tell you, the death of a parent, bad as that is, I'm not wanting to minimize that at all, pales in significance to the impact that divorce has on a child.
Explain why.
Death is final. I had to sit with my two grandsons the next morning. They were at our house.
That's still
we went looking for their daddy.
Very tender moment,
I'll never forget it. To sit them down and look into their eyes and tell them, your daddy died last night. And the shock, the disbelief. And then the crying and the screaming, and you've got to let them just vent it. Now, in the death of a parent, what happens is that the emotional reaction is far greater. It's much more of a Vesuvius, intense thing. Whereas in divorce, the emotions creep up on you a little bit more insidiously.
They're stuffed down.
It's stuffed down. It's not as final as death. Divorce is only the beginning of the problems. You have conflict now, like before divorce is nothing compared to what it is now. As parents begin to fight over the kids and hassle over support and financial matters. Your daddy, if he leaves you, he goes away. He may not come and visit you for 3 years, but he's there somewhere. And so at night, you fantasizing, you're lying awake, wondering, where's my dad? Why has he abandoned me? The first chapter of my book is called Divorced at 12. Because I was divorced, not just my mother.
Yeah.
I was abandoned.
Before we get back to children, Arch, I want to ask you to do something you may not have expected me to do. But we're talking to husbands and wives out there who are not happy in marriage.
Right.
And there's a lot of conflict,
yes.
and their personalities don't mesh like they should have, and maybe the marriage mm-hmm. has never been very happy. And I don't want to add to the pain of those people mm-hmm. by dumping a load of guilt on them. But talk to them a little bit about their children and about what divorce will mean for them
yes.
as they're facing this decision as to whether to go mm-hmm. on together or not.
Well, the first thing I would say is that divorce doesn't solve every marital problem. Lots of people get divorced, and they worse off afterwards. There's no doubt about that. The evidence is that divorce damages adults as well as children.
The families don't divorce.
No.
Always got the same
exactly.
grandparents for the grandkids,
sure,
and there's
sure.
linkage there.
But I would plead with parents whose marriage is not going well right now, and every marriage goes through a bad season. I mean, you just could live long
sure
enough,
does.
You know. I don't know of any marriage that hasn't gone through a bad time. But one has to look, and this is a mistake, I think, that we have made, to seeing the need for our own self-fulfillment in marriage. We've got to look beyond that. We've got to look at the interests of our children. And I would at least plead with this, and I don't misunderstand me here, but I would at least say to parents whose children are at that critical stage, say 14 or under, if at all possible, delay your divorce.
Hmm.
Now, in delaying it, you may find that you work out a marriage.
And seek professional help.
And get some counseling, get some help for it. But yeah. but whatever else, I mean, I'm just talking bottom line here. Whatever else you do, try to delay the divorce so that your children get to a slightly older stage of life where they have the skills, the ability to be able to make the adjustments with less pain.
You know, another thing that the rest of us need to do is to be very sensitive to those youngsters who have lost a mother or father through divorce or death. You have a story of your grandchild on Father's Day and what happened
yes.
at school. This is hard to believe.
And it's not only death, but in divorce also, schools, teachers, friends, even family members are not always sensitive. But what happened with my younger grandson, the 10-year-old who lost his daddy, and who I think has emotionally suffered more than the older one, but the accident happened in April, and as you know, in June, Father's Day comes up. And so a couple of weeks before Father's Day, the teacher arranges for the class to start to prepare writing a card or preparing a card for their fathers. Without any regard to the hurt, the pain that caused my grandson.
Never came and helped.
He never came and helped
him in any way.
And so a day or two later, he wouldn't go to school, and we couldn't figure out why he wouldn't go to school. When a child that age hurts, they don't want to tell you what's hurting. Maybe they don't want to make it conscious or something. Yeah. But it took quite a little bit of pushing him before he told us that in the classroom right now, at this particular class period, all the kids are sitting, designing and preparing a card and stuff for their fathers. What's he supposed to do?
Mm.
And so my daughter finally went and talked to the teacher, and they made arrangements for him to skip that class and have some other activity to go on. But it was a reminder that the system, and including churches, uh-huh. are not always sympathetic. And when this could be also true for a divorced child whose parent has left.
A lot of the help in your book, which is entitled Helping Children Survive Divorce, involves getting behind the eyes of the child and meeting whatever needs are
yes.
there, whatever he or she is
right.
feeling and not telling you about, and responding appropriately to those kinds of moments.
Yes, you've got to understand your child and what the child is feeling. And that's difficult. I'm not suggesting it's easy. You've got all this pain of your own to take care of. How are you going to set that aside? But you've got to do that. And that's why you've got to find some way you can deal with your own pain so that you can be free then to provide an atmosphere for your child.
Well, I want to reserve the rest of the program, Arch, for these students who are around us. And we have a microphone set up here, and we're going to invite them to come now and ask whatever questions they wish from yesterday's program and, of course, what we've done today. So whoever's got the courage to start, join us there. Give us your name and what school you're from, the whole group.
Oh, everyone stand.
We've got nearly 40 young people here, so we're going to have a hard time getting this on the air, but we'll take as many as we can right here.
I'm Jessica Anderson from Taylor University, and my question is, what are some specific things that an outsider, someone who is not a family member, can do to help minimize the effects of divorce, of children who've been through a divorce?
Right. Mm. That's a wonderful question, that, because I think friends, family members can rally around and help a family going through divorce. Some of the things you can do, if teenage boys or girls, for example, now one of the parents isn't there to do certain things, say the father isn't there, you can help offer to take the child to some games, to some activities. Mm. And particularly with my grandsons, this has been most helpful, in that younger people have given time and sacrificially spent time with our boys. And that's been a wonderfully healing thing for them.
You know, Arch, if you just look through Scripture, the Lord obviously has a very tender place in his heart for the fatherless child and the widow. And I assume that's the
that
child
applies
of
to divorce,
divorce as
absolutely.
Well.
Everything that applies to any loss of a father, I think these principles would apply.
I think we in the church, it's very easy to criticize the church. They're the whipping boy for everything that's going wrong in society, and it's not fair. But we have been reluctant to help the single parent deal with this. You got a mother struggling to earn a living and do all this stuff and come home and take care of those kids. There's no dad in the home. Men, go pick up those kids and take them to a football game.
Right.
Throw them, teach them to throw a ball. You know, show them what a man is all about.
And another need they have is, now that there's a single parent having taken care of the children, they need babysitters. They need someone to go and watch the children when mommy goes to the doctor for an appointment. Someone's got to watch those
kids.
Change
the oil in her car.
All sorts of ways you can be helpful.
All right.
Yesterday's broadcast, you mentioned the importance of parents being honest with their children. My question is, in cases such as infidelity or an addiction or something like that, how much should the parents really tell their children?
Good question. Thank you for asking that. I insist that one should be honest, but I don't think that one can be honest in matters like that and be fair always. You've got to tailor the information to the age of the child. A five-year-old doesn't understand about infidelity, doesn't understand it. Maybe that the explanation has to be delayed for a later time. If a child is older, then I think you should ask your spouse, not you, to tell your child. Put the responsibility back where it belongs. That's what triangulation is all about, if you've studied anything about systems theory. The principle is put the responsibility back where it belongs. Husband, it's your responsibility to explain to your 14-year-old son that the reason you are leaving is because you've been unfaithful. And that way you avoid your child blaming you.
Yeah.
For being the bearer of the bad message.
At some point, when they're a little older, the truth needs to come out.
Absolutely.
I have seen 30 and 40-year-old people who just now discovered that they were mad at the wrong parent.
That's right. That's true. The other principle here is, one is put the responsibility back where it belongs. The other is that you have to often prepare the way for the truth. And there are some children for whom that information would be devastating. They are too sensitive. They're too anxiety-riddled or whatever, too depressed. Prepare the way. Take care of the pain, the depression, and then ultimately the truth must prevail.
Next question.
You dealt with the anger that children have with their parents.
Yes.
How about the anger they have with God? How do you deal with that and fight through
good
that
question.
Issue?
Good question. These are all good questions. You've been preparing them for this.
They're bright kids.
You are absolutely right. Children get angry at God. And the more Christian or religious the parents, the more they take it out on God. Because you've taught your children how to pray. You've taught your children how to believe in prayer. Now they pray that somehow mommy and daddy will get together again, and it doesn't happen. And who do they blame for that? It is God. And so I have a section in the book in which I talk about rebuilding a child's faith. And you do rebuild child's faith not by attacking the other, but by modeling the principles of Christian life and living, the principles of forgiveness, the principles of kindness, And that, I think, is the most powerful way we can restore a child's faith.
Mm. Next question.
How do you reach out to adult children who have never worked through their divorce with their parents?
Thank you. I have another book.
Just so happens.
It's called Growing Up Divorced, which is the sequel to this one. And I think it's a good point. I think every child who goes through divorce as an adult has to realize they have unfinished business. It wasn't until I was 35 that I sat up one day and said, you've got all this unfinished business. It was showing up in my marriage. It was showing up in my parenting. And suddenly I realized I need to work through some of that. I hadn't forgiven my own parents. My attitudes to them was shaped by the fact that I had not deliberately and consciously forgiven them. I had developed a dependence on father figures. I was always looking for a searching for a substitute father. And Lee Edward Travis, who you knew as the founding dean and when I first came to Fuller, became my substitute father. We have similar research interests and so on. And I had to sit up one day and say, you can't do that. And that unfinished business, I had to sit down and do some very careful thinking and talking it out with someone. And then I wrote the book where I tried to articulate what some of that unfinished business is.
The book's still in print?
Yes.
And the title of it?
Growing Up Divorced.
And who published it?
Servant. For children who, once they've grown up, now have to deal with that unfinished business.
Another subject for another day, right?
That's probably true.
Okay. Well, we've been talking about the book, Helping Children Survive Divorce, What to Expect, How to Help, with Dr. Archibald Hart from Fuller Theological Seminary and Fuller School of Psychology, former dean of Fuller. Great friend to this ministry and to Shirley and me personally. You and Kathleen mean a lot to us, Arch, and you flew all the way over here to be with us these 2 days, and I sure appreciate it. And thanks to all the students for the excellent questions that you asked as well. It's been good to have you here, and we'll do it again. I hope and I believe that what we've been doing today has been helpful to parents who are out there and to children. A lot of kids listen to this program. Mm-hmm. It's always been amazing in the carpool on the way to school and so on. I had a youngster last week, about 10 years old, came up and talked to me about all the programs in the last week that he'd heard. Anyway, I hope that we've been helpful to a lot of people, and I know this book will, again, keep writing, Arch. And,
thank you, Jim.
When you get your next book done, come on back.
I will. And thank you for allowing the word like this to get out. You have a phenomenal ministry. Now, you don't need any stroking. I know that. But I want to say it anyway. Thank you for what you're doing for the kingdom, Jim.
That's a gift from the Lord. He's given us the eyes and ears of a lot of people, and my prayer is that we won't do anything to mess it up. Thank you, everybody. God's blessings to you.
And on that note, we conclude part two of a two-part conversation with Dr. Arch Hart, addressing the issue of finding help and hope for children of divorce on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Arch Hart is not only a highly respected psychologist and author, he is also a child of divorce himself. All the more reason for us to recommend his outstanding book, Helping Children Survive Divorce, What to Expect, How to Help. You'll find a link for this resource on our homepage at drjamesdobson.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse some of the other informative resources available to you. You can even establish your own account for the Dobson Digital Library, which gives you access to literally hundreds of thousands of hours of audio recordings and broadcasts, newsletters, articles, and more. Again, you'll find what you're looking for at drjamesdobson.org. Finally, thanks for your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. You can make your donation securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can make your contribution over the phone when you call us toll-free at 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to join us again here next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. Roger Marsh here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. The news comes in all shapes, sizes, and formats these days, but how do you cut through all the noise and get to the heart of the matters that affect your family? Well, come to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk and sign up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter. You'll find clarity on tough issues, encouragement for daily life, and trusted principles to help you build strong, healthy, and connected families. Go to drjamesdobson.org and sign up today. That's drjamesdobson.org.
Hi everyone, Dr. Meg Meeker here. Are you on the go without much time to log into all of your social media pages? Twitter is a great way for staying informed on the things that matter to you with just a quick look at your phone. Follow Dr. James Dobson, FT, and receive great tips, resources, and information that is important to you in short and simple tweets. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson, capital F, capital T.